Good evening, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another evening of Jay Bird Watching. Thus far, it's Craig Borden here in the hosting chair, and I got Brandon Panikkar with me. There will be a player to be named very shortly, and it will be Chris Key. I'm just saying. So, goofy aside, apparently the Blue Jays just felt like playing with their fans and everything is today and just throwing a complete weird wrench in what is our roster rate lately. You know, the Whit Merrifield thing wasn't weird enough. We're going to get into talking that now. We have some more of the gang back this week, and I'm not just having Jay's Jam invade our podcast. So, Brendan, the Blue Jays, for some reason, grab Jackie Bradley Jr. I know they've been hot for him for a few years, but he's been in steady decline.
That's pretty good.
I know this is depth, but that I'm being nice.
Yeah, exactly. That's putting it lightly, man. Like, he is not very good anymore. Like, he's better hitter than Bradley Zimmer, but everybody's a better hitter than Bradley Zimmer, probably in the entire MLB. And so, yeah, that on paper, that looks really good, and people are going to remember some really, really good seasons JBJ had for the Red Sox, and I think he was decent in his very brief time with the Brewers as well. But he's not as fast as Bradley Zimmer. He's not even close to as fast as Bradley Zimmer anymore. He can still steal bases, so he's faster than most of the MLB, but for the role, Craig, that Zimmer is in, which people think he's just going to take from him, it doesn't make any sense to replace him. Like, Zimmer's the better, I wouldn't say he's a better fielder in some regards, JBJ, than Zimmer, but others, Zimmer is better, so they kind of, like, kind of a wash, and then Zimmer, by far, is the better base runner. Like, I don't think I've ever seen, in my lifetime as a fan, a player as fast as Bradley Zimmer. He's so fast.
Especially with how tall he is. It's like the weirdest freak of nature kind of thing. It's just those long legs.
That's exactly it. So the fact that JBJ can't give you that anymore. The only thing that, and I don't want to go down this path because it's purely speculative, but I think you know where I'm going with this.
Don't you say it.
Are they worried that Springer's going to be out longer than originally anticipated? Because he is just such a weird elbow injury. That it just needs to be managed, and I don't know what that means. It's going to hurt him sometimes, be fine other days, and maybe I'm hopeful, Craig, that that's not going to be the case, but maybe this is a sign that it's going in that direction. I really hope not. I'm not saying it is, but
I hope it's at least, to me, I don't think it's that they are worried that's going to happen, but they're hedging their bets. It's like, okay, how often do you get somebody like Jackie Bradley Jr. this time of the year floating around just waiting to be on a team? At a minimum, he is a defensive plus, right? Mm-hmm. So if he hits anything, you're getting something bonus out of it. If you really, really look at this, I think defensively, you have the established track record of Jackie Bradley Jr. as a defenseman in the outfield. And then you have, oh, well, Bradley Zimmer is a really damn good outfielder too. I really think it's that. It's somebody that's been hurt and has been quiet and been very good on defense in Zimmer. And then you have Jackie Bradley Jr., who's been making gold glove level catches and on the big stage in Boston. And then, like I said, you said a minute ago, very good teams in Milwaukee. So I honestly, on paper, they look like the same guy to me.
Pretty much.
Because Zimmer still has that chance he could be something. I'm not seeing that happening, but you never know. He could turn to Kevin Pillar overnight. You know, it's just what happens. That's baseball for you. That's why you play the game. But I just don't see Jackie Bradley Jr. being anything other than what exactly we are getting from Zimmer at the moment. And the fact that they signed JBJ to a major league contract forces them to hold on to him or waive him when, you know, things go good or bad.
So. I guess at the end of the day, maybe it's just a flyer, and maybe they are intent when Springer gets back that they will DFA Zimmer. Who knows what happens when George Springer gets back. But honestly, like, for the outfield that they have right now, and the fact that you now have Whit Merrifield, who can also play in the outfield, and Kevin Biggio, who can play in the outfield in the pinch too, even though he's been kind of slowly turning his season around to second base, it just feels like something has to give here. It's either they're going to cut bait with Zimmer and roll with JBJ for what could be some good reasons, Craig. Like, I don't want to dismiss his playoff experience, the fact that he's won a couple World Series with the Red Sox, and he can hit better than Zimmer. Like, it hasn't been much better this season, but anything, again, like I said earlier, anything is better than Zimmer. So
a mere 210 and a .578 OPS is not exactly screaming, like, you know, all-star like he was showing like he was trending in that direction. This is a guy I saw in New Hampshire a couple of times. Funny enough, I think that he was playing in the outfield. And of course, Sarah and I were sitting in New Hampshire. And it's just like, is he ever going to take that next step? And I think
kind of did.
How you explain his whole career. You know, you saw flashes of it, and then it never manifested anywhere but defense. So if that's what they're getting, great. You have somebody that you can throw in this. Because apparently, right now, the fourth outfielder, without question, is Ramil Tapia, and with a mix of with Whit Merrifield now. But the fact that Whit Merrifield can play basically anywhere, you know, is he going to steal about as many outfield spots as you would think that Tapia might be able to take? Plus, the fact that Tapia seems to be coming up clutch time after time after time.
Yeah,
it's getting to the point where I'm obviously leaning in that direction. But to have another guy like this, that worst case late innings, after you did all this shuffling around, and we've seen a lot of shuffling over the last few days with Schneider running this ship, you have another good quality depth glove that you can throw out there in the eighth and ninth inning, and you're not losing anything. So it keeps with the Blue Jays defensive run saved mantra that I think has been honestly our biggest saving grace this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just looking at it. Last year, I'm completely wrong. I thought he had a decent season with the Brewers. He was terrible. He was.
There's a reason they just got here. Go Boston.
Exactly. And like at the end of the day, looking at their defensive metrics on Fangraphs, the defensive WAR, I believe it is for fielding and position. Just looking at it now, 1.5 for JBJ and 1 for Zimmer. And Zimmer minus 0.3 F4. Jackie Bradley Jr. minus 0.4. They're the same player. Yeah. There's no difference.
And that difference in 0.5 on the WAR is probably more or less due to playing time. I think if you give the same level of playing time to Zimmer defensively, those are going to be, like you said, bam, like equal.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the other hope is that a playoff run sparks him a little bit and he kind of starts to get back to his better Boston Red Sox days, but he's 32. I can't see that happening. I just think he might be a good guy to have around for a little while, and maybe they make a call over the next little while. Is it going to be him or is it going to be Zimmer? And personally, I think a lot of people were sharing this on Twitter today. I'd rather just keep rolling with Zimmer in his role. He's been perfect for the role he's playing on this team.
Yeah, to that point, there's something about, I know you said that Bradley can steal bases, but you mentioned the other part of that he's 32. Zimmer is just ungodly fast.
Yeah.
You're talking about needing to take a bag when everybody knows you need to take a bag. Zimmer is the guy you need in there. And this is the difference between having somebody like in the 2015 playoffs where we had Dalton Pompey steal second and steal third and have it within 90 feet, or probably having about a 60-40 chance of getting to second base with JBJ. And right now, to your point, if it's going to be a wash at defense and I need some stolen bases, I'm looking at Bradley Zimmer verse.
Easily. It's not a good question.
Yeah, and to your next point on that whole thing, Brennan, really this whole thing with JBJ hinges on what is going on with George Springer.
It's a little concerning, man. It kind of is. I mean, look, the biggest news in the NFL right now is that Matt Stafford is dealing with an issue to his elbow, and they've come out and said it's tendonitis, and I'm starting to think that could be what it is for Springer, and who knows? There should be more clarity on that later, but that is the path a lot of people have gone down today, that it's a little worse than we feared, so hopefully not.
To that point, though, Springer's stubborn enough that I have a strange feeling after this break in the next 10, 15 days, he's coming back one way or the other. Definitely. I really do not see this being this Bradley Jr. thing is a holdover until the meantime. You have a roster spot. Okay, oh my God, we don't have Otto Lopez on this roster. I'm not, as much as I think he's a good player and he's going to be good going forward, it's not the right time. So now that we have the eventual player to be joining us later, Chris Key, how we doing, buddy?
Good.
So we were just talking the weirdest Blue Jays move in history with JBJ joining the team. Do you have any two cents other than the fact that we were talking, the fact that you're really just getting another Bradley Zimmer on this?
it comes at a little bit of a curious time, I guess. When I saw that he was on waivers, I kind of thought to myself, hey, maybe you take a flyer on him. Maybe something hits for two or 3 weeks and
then you let him go.
And you let him go, and he's served his purpose, right? Guys like that are good for September and whatever if you need, right? He's certainly not going to get any playing time over Whit Merrifield right now or Lourdes Teoscar, anybody.
We were even saying over Tapia, he's been on fire.
Yeah, even Tapia has been good. So, is he going to get some reps here and there? See, when I initially thought of it, I thought, hey, you know what you're going to do now? You're going to have either Jackie Bradley Jr. maybe playing center field, because it does seem like the Jays are a little bit hesitant to throw Tapia in center field. So now you have JBJ to go out there, which frees up Whit Merrifield to play second base, because Kevin Biggio and Santiago Espinal have not been good as of late. So does that free up a spot there? You're keeping your defense in center field, where, granted, Merrifield's done a good enough job out there, but could it be better with JBJ? Yes, it's going to be better with him out there. He's been in the AL East a long time. He knows a lot of the pitchers. He knows the ballparks. So, like, you're paying him, what, 2 months of a league minimum? So,
yeah. They have not announced the dollar amount that I've officially seen, but how do you pay him any more than that?
Yeah. That's probably what it is, I would guess.
Yeah, like Boston will
have
to
flyer hoping to get Ken Flyer.
Boston's going to have to pay out his remaining contract.
Yes.
And then they'll be signing him basically for 2 months of the league minimum. Why not?
You're
like, he's
throwing money
at it. He's not a relief pitcher, which we need more right now. He's
spiteful.
He's not a starting pitcher, which we also need right now, but I guess.
Okay.
It gives you better defense in center field and allows Whit Merrifield to come and play second. That's the spin I can give it to you.
Or at least it's, like you said, more options in the midst of that cocktail that you were talking about there. Because
you can't let Zimmer have an at bat. You can't.
I don't want to have JBJ have a bat either.
No, neither do I.
No. But JBJ at least
is a major league player.
Well, he gives you hope of contact.
Zimmer,
I guess,
at all.
And Zimmer gives you no hope of contact.
Oh my god. So yeah, I'm not gonna fight you on that one. You know, more or less the big default, that thing that we were talking about, Chris, is the fact that JBJ versus Zimmer speed wise you need to take a bag when everybody knows you're gonna steal a bag. Zimmer gets you that bag, where JBJ probably does not. So that'd be the
his legs aren't what they used to be. Yeah, his legs aren't what they used to be, but he's still, I don't know.
Yeah, roll dice, see what happens.
If you need an at-bat from somebody, I would give an at-bat to Jackie Bradley Jr. before I would give one to Zimmer.
Oh, me too, for sure.
Correct.
And, experience. Like, that's not a good 1A, 1B.
No, it's actually terrible.
It's kind of, like, right next to each other. Yeah.
Like, it's marginal, but
it's like a 1AAA and then a 1AAA.
Yeah. It's not preferred, that's for sure, but it's
the situation.
He's better. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I want to touch on it because we didn't have the whole group together here. Just before we dive into some of the other things, you were starting to dance around there, Chris, when you joined in with the pitching concerns and whatnot. This team is now post-trade deadline. We've seen some of these new acquisitions. First things first, what's your – I'm going to let Chris go with this one first. Whit Merrifield, what's your first impression of him as a Toronto Blue Jay? He's been getting on base, salvageable center field, hasn't really done it. I think he played one inning at second base over the last week.
Yeah, like, he's done what you wanted him to do. He's a high contact guy that's going to put the ball in play. He's going to get on base. He's going to swipe some. Had that controversial play in Minnesota. we won't talk too much about that. saving people getting all riled up about semantics, but there was that. He was right in the middle of it. For Whit Merrifield, this is probably exactly what you would expect out of him. And I'm not concerned with him anywhere in this lineup. Like, I kind of get excited to see him hit because you know he's going to do something fun on the bases. And you don't get a lot of that with this team. And it fits so well with the way this team has been playing under John Schneider. Do they go out and get Whit Merrifield as just a last-minute go-get-him if Charlie Montoyo is still the manager? I don't think so. but he fits the bill so well with all this hit and run, because he does put the ball in play and he can run the bases like hell.
Correct. He fits that new mantra.
He fits John Schneider's game so well. I couldn't be happier with what he's done already. Like, save for him hitting like 750, but like, that's not going to happen.
That's not human.
No. So yeah, he's coming almost exactly as advertised, and it's great that I really like the way the Blue Jays went about the whole vaccination thing. They left it in his court. Legally, I don't think they can comment on anything anyway. So I know people were getting their feathers all ruffled up about what was going on with why can't they say anything and this and that, whatever. Well, because they fucking can't.
He needs to say it himself.
Quiet boy, want to get sued?
Yeah, he had to say it, and he did. It's been dealt with. It's taken care of. He's going to be in Toronto come, what, this weekend? Cleveland?
Friday.
Friday.
Yep, Friday.
Friday for the Cleveland series. I can't be more amped up to see him there. I'll be there on Sunday. I couldn't be more excited to see Whit Merrifield in the Blue Jays uniform.
That's not Looney Dog Day.
I can't eat them like I used to.
Now, apparently a lot of Blue Jays fans can, though. I hear the world record was 43,000 or something like that. Sold in one game, and they were looking to break that.
Yeah, it's wild. They'll break it before the season's up, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially with how Tabby and Shulman have been pushing that one on the broadcast. Yeah. Brendan, Whit Merrifield, how you feeling?
Do you think
he's sticking in center field for a little bit here, or what do you got?
Yeah, I hope he goes to second base now that they brought JBJ in there, because, Chris, you're bang on. Santiago Espinal has been terrible for the most part for a little while now. It's not been very good, and Biggio's Biggio, who also isn't very good. So
against Baltimore, though, he's good.
Yeah. Hey, they're going to need it, apparently, in this series, being down 2-1 right now and losing last night. So please bring on all the Kevin Biggio offense you can give.
That's the team he hit the cycle for. And that was 2019 he hit?
2019, yeah. A couple of days before the end of the season. Whit Merrifield, bring him in the second base. Very similar sentiments to Chris. I just think he's a super useful player for this team right now. He can play everywhere. Second base, and probably anywhere in the outfield as well, and give you perfect cover if Springer is out longer term. And then that way you don't have to hand too many at-bats to Jackie Bradley Jr. or Bradley Zimmer anymore. So that's perfect. He fits the team and what they're doing. And you know what? He is on the wrong side of 30, 32, 33 next year, and they do have a mutual option for 2024, so he'll be back next year at least. Yep. And then I think both parties do need to agree. If one person doesn't want the option picked up, then it's done. So he might only be here for one more year, but that's perfectly fine. Hopefully by then, somebody like Otto Lopez, who you said, will be ready to come up and take over.
Chris's man crush Monday in Aralvis.
Exactly. So, I'm excited to see him too. And, you know, last year, a little bit below league average offensively. I do think he has the potential to get back to league average, which would be perfectly fine and better than probably what they've been getting the last month and a bit at second base.
Last year he hit .277 still.
Yeah, absolutely.
And was it
40 led the league in doubles, at bats, stolen bases.
He had a good seat, 40 stolen bases.
He's a hell of a weapon at the top of a lineup right now that looks really odd without George Springer in it.
Yeah, it's a weird lineup, that's for sure. But I like him. I think it was a good addition. When I saw originally that he had been traded and the team wasn't announced, I'm like, I just had a gut feeling that it was the Blue Jays, despite the unknown around the vaccination status of Whit Merrifield. And sure enough, it was. And then we went through that whole exercise of, oh shit, is he going to be able to come and play next week? Is he vaccinated? And he is. And good for him for making that decision. I know it's probably not one he would have liked or preferred to have made, but he did it. And he gets to be a part of a playoff race and hopefully in front of sold-out Rogers Center crowds come later in August and September.
Yeah, and hopefully an extended playoff run, not just this first-round nonsense that we've been dealing with the last few years. So The one thing I'm going to add to that point on the fact that what you guys mentioned is, honestly, right now, he is my everyday center fielder. Mm-hmm. And I am platooning Biggio and Espinal over watching JBJ do anything or Bradley Zimmer do anything. Espinal's been having a lot of hard luck since, like, about a week before the All-Star break. But Kevin Biggio and him right now perform a nice little right-handed, left-handed platoon that they can play around with in the lineup, and hopefully one of them catches fire. And then it forces us into another fun conversation with what to do with Whit Merrifield and George Springer, hopefully healthy here in the next couple weeks. So, but to that point, I want to talk. We had Mitch White pitched his first game 2 days ago and looked pretty damn sharp, I thought, for what we were expecting. I think it was as advertised. It was, what, 2 runs over 5 innings, I believe?
Something 3, like that.
Maybe. Yeah. So either way, I was very encouraged from – we got another guy in the mix that I'm not freaking out about. Is he probably going to have some ups and downs? Yes, but he, as long as they're not ups and downs like we saw from Kikuchi last night, I think we'll be okay. Who actually righted the ship a little bit after a really god-awful start again. And the fact that he's still – he gets nailed by the long ball. But hopefully somebody like White here can jump in and create a problem for Kikuchi to actually stay in the rotation or not, or lay a fire under his ass. I'll give you either or. Brennan, your turn to field the Mitch White-ism here.
Yeah. I like the Mitch White pickup, especially after you let go of Maximo Castillo in the Whit Merrifield trade. There were a lot of sad Dodgers fans to see Mitch White go because he was actually having a pretty decent season with them. A little easier to do in a pretty big park that is Dodger Stadium and whatnot, but still, Mitch White is basically Ross Stripling all over again. And that's worked out pretty well, that trade so far for the Blue Jays. Actually, it's worked out very well on this season alone. And so the easy answer for me to solve the pitching crisis of Yusei Kikuchi and one incredibly poor Jose Berríos start every 2 to 3 to 4 starts is when Stripling is off the injured list. Kikuchi goes to the bullpen. I don't even know, like, if you can put him in there because his command eludes him all the time. But regardless, they have to do something with him. Keep Mitch White in the rotation with Stripling. And then you have one less volatile guy in there. I think for the most part, Mitch White gives you what Stripling does. He'll go out 5-6 innings pretty consistently, 3 runs, 4 runs, and keep you in the game. And then he'll have the occasional game where he'll go 6-7 and give up no runs, maybe 1 or 2, and you'll win the game on the backs of your starter. So, yeah, I like Mitch White. I think it was a good pickup, good depth. Unfortunately, that is the only depth right now, though, which is also an issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Chris, pick up that hot potato and run with it.
I did you up so well there, man.
Yeah. So there's a couple of ways to go with the whole Mitch White situation and Kikuchi, Stripling. I'll go with this, first of all. Mitch White is Ross Stripling's replacement because Ross Stripling is not going to be here next year.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a valid point. Having a guy like that come in, it kind of ironic that he came from the Dodgers as well, but he has a similar profile. But like, I'll pose this real quick question: like, what kind of contract does Ross Stripling get?
That's so tough.
The wild card.
I've seen somebody pushing the idea of giving him a qualifying offer, but I'm not paying him almost $18.5 million for 1 year. No way.
I might.
If it's 1 year, you're just throwing money at it, right? If it's more than that, you're going to set yourself up for failure. Don't worry.
Okay, here's what I'll give to you. Has Ross Stripling been worth $2 million more than what Yusei Kikuchi has done this year?
Yes. A
billion times over.
Oh, for sure.
There you go. Because Yusei Kikuchi is making $60 million this year.
Yeah, that's
so, rough beans.
Like,
for a guy that's going to end up with a bullpen by the end of our year.
Yeah, like, obviously those are very different circumstances, and Kikuchi's been horrid this year. But apart from his first month, I think his first month was actually not terrible and
salvageable.
He ran into some really good teams that he was pitching against. So
apparently he's really good against the Yankees, though. How'd that happen?
Yeah. As for Mitch White, though, like, he's gonna give you what he gives you. It's just like, realistically, they needed to do so much better. They needed to do so much better at the trade deadline. I didn't get a much chance to talk about it last week, but like, unless
that's my friend,
so you have Gausman you can rely on, you have Manoah that you can rely on. Manoah hasn't been great his last two starts.
He's some more punchy.
He's getting into some innings territories he's never been in before. So I get the narrative. He's a big, strong guy, but he hasn't done it. And he hasn't done it for a long period of time before. So that he's going to wear down. Does he find an extra gear where he can kick it into to really push himself over the edge and this team into late September and obviously into October? That's a very big question. So you have two guys that you're hoping you can rely on right now. You cannot rely on Jose Berríos. You cannot. Unless he's
a free starter right now.
Unless he's pitching at home, like you, God forbid, you're pitching that third game at the Trop,
or Safeco.
Like you have to make sure that you're in that top wildcard spot because I don't trust Berríos in a game three right now.
I'd pitch him in game two.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Get him a home game.
I wouldn't. I pitch Stripling first.
Yeah, yeah.
That's not a bad move. At least then you're getting somebody to, you know, to get out of
you
the
know you're,
game.
You know you're going to get three or four innings. You know you're going to get three innings.
Yeah.
Do you start with...
Come back in with freaking Mitch White after, if he keeps doing what he did in his first start. Come in with him right after the back and just run the whole thing to the point you have the bullpen the whole next game.
Yeah.
You know, what's the worst case if you get... Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say Berríos is getting a playoff start regardless in that series.
Yeah, he will.
It's going to happen. 100%. They're not going to skip over Berríos, a guy who you gave a 7-year extension to. And I totally understand where you're coming from.
Do you want
to
win, though?
Of course. But, I mean, this is the thing that's tantalizing
about. You hope he drops the ball those last two starts of the season and comes out there hot.
He can absolutely go out there and give you 8 innings with 15 strikeouts, but he can also... proving this year, can also give you 2 innings and give up 7 runs and you're done in a game.
The biggest start of his career was a home opener this year and he couldn't even make 2 fucking outs.
Oh, I know. That was a sign of things to come.
Tell me how you really feel about it.
Looking back, it's just like, wow, maybe we should have been a lot more concerned about the direction his season was going to go after that. It's been maddening because nobody can really, you go try to look at the numbers, his Baseball Savant page, Fangraphs, anywhere. There's nothing that pinpoints why he's struggling so much, so consistently.
Like, it's the same thing with what's going on with Kikuchi. It's purely mental.
My thought, too. There are games when his curveball is doing what it's done his whole career, and that's when he has his big games, goes 7-8 innings and strikes out a ton, and then there's other games where it doesn't do it at all. It's mind-boggling, to be honest, and it's so frustrating.
Like, I want to get on board, Brendan. I really do, and I want him. Obviously, I'm a fan of this team, and in part to that, with that, I'm a fan of Jose Berríos. But, like, it's so hard to trust him with anything right now.
It is.
And, like, doing the home and, like, the home and road splits are just, it's, you keep saying mind-boggling. Like, they're polar opposites. So, like,
it looks like two different players.
I almost don't have a problem with them starting at home, but if you're starting at the Trop.
Yeah.
They're going to line him up so he's pitching that first game, whatever freaking game it is. 1, 2, 3, 15, whatever the fuck it is.
God forbid you need him in the last series against Baltimore to get in.
Yeah, and that's at Baltimore, too.
Like, we're getting into territory where we might have to start considering that.
Yeah, no, I know, for sure.
Like, absolutely. It's tight, and
especially
the teams behind
Baltimore's been playing.
The teams that are chasing are playing good baseball right now.
They are. This series,
those
this
Baltimore
weekend,
Orioles are really hungry, man.
Baltimore's hungry. This series with Cleveland is bigger than this current series with Baltimore because, again, I know Baltimore's been red hot, and I was thinking about this earlier. They have the offense to make up for their shitty starting pitching right now because their offense is just on an absolute heater. And when you do that and you turn it over to their incredible bullpen, which the Orioles have one of the best in the business, other teams don't score runs, and then the Orioles can continue to chip away. They have a formula that's working right now, and it's going to continue to work. So for the first time in a long time, I try to not disagree with a lot of the media personalities out there, especially Wilner, because he's been so controversial in the past. But last night, he's just like, this is a mirage. This is an illusion. The Orioles aren't actually that good. I'm like, it's working, and it's working very well right now. Imagine what would happen if the Orioles committed to adding and added a starter or two. They would get in if they had a better
rotation. Think about it this way. Look at their lineup right now. They have a guy that went was 30-30 in major leagues last year, and Cedric Mullins batting leadoff. Adley Rutschman is a future doubles machine, and if they ever move those damn fences back in at Camden Yards, it's going to be a home run machine.
I'm thinking it'd be another couple of years before they got good. Now that they're good, they're like, oh, crap, can we move the fences back, actually?
Yeah. Santander has 20 home runs as of last night and has been third. Ryan Mountcastle is a beast who is going to find a way to do more in the next coming years. This is just—he's had an injury-filled season. He just finally came back and he hit a home run last night, or was it?
He's a complete Blue Jay killer.
He's one of those guys.
Yeah. And then they have Hayes, who is batting in the fucking sixth spot right now. It's like, okay, Austin Hayes is no slouch. They have offense. If they could find any. If they can find any pitching, and Jordan Lyles is your ace of your staff right now, who was a floater freaking the last 7 years in Major League Baseball. So,
well, Mullins hit like
can't disprove that offense.
Yeah, he did.
That is correct. He's normally their leadoff guy, though. I don't know what that was about yesterday.
Yeah, I don't either.
Probably because Kikuchi was pitching.
Oh yeah, that makes
lefty. Oh, to try getting a more right-handed hit bats. That guess makes sense.
It's concerning, though, guys, that they couldn't hit their equivalent of Yusei Kikuchi overly well last night and currently aren't to their other equivalent of Yusei Kikuchi in Kyle Bradish.
Yeah. Jordan Lyles is on a little bit of a heater right now, too. Just he's been pretty good for the last month. One bad start, if I recall. But to that point, the Blue Jays still should have imagined a guy that they destroyed last year with the Texas Rangers.
Yeah.
So, anyway, outside of the two guys we just mentioned, the Blue Jays did acquire Anthony Bass and Zach Pop from the Marlins. Guys, I don't care what any way you slice it. Those are two quality arms that just joined our bullpen, which was starting to look pretty thin, especially when we were seeing our worst stint of like people like Trevor Richards and some of the other guys. And now you don't have to rely on them, hopefully, as much as we have some of that back in the aggregate. Two guys that have been having better seasons. Brendan, you didn't get a chance to chime in on those two guys last week before we dive into some other things here.
Yeah, no, it's look, when you go back and look at the trade deadline, the one thing that continues to stand out to me is when, what's his face, Buster Olney reported that people weren't overly high on the Blue Jays system. And I believe that they couldn't get people off of the guys that we all know about, Ricky Tiedemann, Orelvis, Gabriel Moreno, and maybe one or two others. And so even when you go look at their top 30 prospects right now, everybody else is years away and not it's anywhere bottom close. Heavy. It's very, very bottom
why
heavy.
Did that?
Very good floor. You're very talking good guys floor. Like Manuel Beltre that are going to break, I think, at some point, but nobody wants to take that long-term investment.
Absolutely. So when I go back and look at the trade for Anthony Bass and Zach Pop, somebody called this out on Twitter, that Groshans was probably the main guy that they were shopping around to teams and just said, come and get him. Yep, give us your best package of relievers. And the Marlins offered the best possible package they could get for Groshans.
Probably not wrong with that statement.
So, I mean, it's as good as they could get. It's incredible. I can't get excited about Anthony Bass when I saw it, but he's having a monster season. And I think if we didn't have Anthony Bass in 2020 and saw that version of him, we'd be a lot more excited about him because a lot of his numbers are better than Clay Holmes this year. Somebody pointed that out today too. That it's incredible. So
catch and release for Anthony Bass actually worked. Is what you're saying?
Yes, yes, exactly. So yeah, whatever he figured out. Apparently, it's because he's throwing his slider a lot more this year than he has in the past, and that helped him quite a bit. But he's having an elite season, so that's a good pickup. Zach Pop, tons of control, lots of potential. Can't be upset about that either, especially when he can throw 97-98. If they can up the strikeouts a little bit, he could turn into a very dangerous reliever. And it just helps push Trevor Richards down the order so much more. Thank goodness. Like, I'm sick.
That's
Trevor
the Richards. Biggest bonus of any of it. We're just pushing some of those guys that we were starting to get scared out back into like, okay, great. We're blowing somebody out. Here's the sixth inning. Have fun.
Exactly.
or and hopefully not too much of the alternative of that.
Fine if Richards pitches in the fifth or the sixth if the game's a little bit out of control, but if it's anywhere close or striking distance, I don't want to see him anymore.
Yeah. To that point, I think it pushes also one of our other, you know, favorite people of the show is Dave Phelps back to his proper spot in this whole thing, too, because I like him. I really don't want to ever say bad things about him and what he does to a ball club. He's a savvy veteran, and actually, I think he's legit the oldest guy on this team right now. That's his role, those mid-innings where things start going off the hinges, right? And then you have the lockdown guys after him. So now he's back in that role where he's starting to lean a little bit more toward the, we need him as a setup guy because there's this thing's getting too thin and whatnot. So it gets everybody, I think, back in their place with those two guys joining the group.
Mm-hmm.
Chris, you want to add anything on that before I move on?
No, I have the ball game on mute right now, and I'm really trying to figure out what the fuck just happened. But
oh, God. it's not another catching incident, is it?
I guess, kind of. No, one of the Baltimore. Who's hitting right now? Hayes? No. I don't even know who's hitting for.
It says right Taran Varara.
Oh, yeah. Varara. He just got hit. Oh, okay. Now it's 2-2. Okay. Now I'm not confused. He got hit on the foot. The ball bounced away. The runner came in to score, which is not going to matter anyway because Merrifield almost dropped that ball. But runner tag came in. No, never mind.
So, God, you're bringing up old memories with me now with a freaking running in at home and, oh, God.
That's exactly what I thought right away. And, yeah, no, we're good. Every crisis.
That had a nice resolution, too. So hopefully there's a walk-off home run here in a few minutes, but that's besides the point. So,
we're good.
So we were talking the pitching concerns and whatnot. Manoah and Gausman have been the elite part of this staff. We talked a little bit about where it's going. How confident are you in this core right now with the team's offense of actually taking us to the promised land and getting us some playoff victories, not just getting to the playoffs?
Right now, not at all.
Crickets. The only thing I honestly have a ton of confidence in right now is this offense has proven to me that they're going to find a way to hit. And I think yesterday's game was a valid litmus test for that. I how bad we got off of that game yesterday against the Orioles, guys. Did you see us even getting remotely ballpark back into that game?
Well, no. they could have been in it the entire time. They just didn't. They don't hit with runners on base.
I know, it's maddening.
It's very maddening. It's the fact that we even got 4 runs out of it to begin with.
They left 4 people on base in the first 2 or 3 innings. Like,
yeah,
they could hit lines.
Yeah, you need to cash those runners in, especially against teams like this. Like, teams that were supposed to be bad, but now all of a sudden are chasing you. Like, you got to find a way to stick in these games and pull out victories. Because they're only going to get harder into September.
Yes.
Yes, sir. So, there was an article I was reading today that was from one of our old friends, Keegan Matheson, that was basically saying there's 3 main keys to the Blue Jays' continual success going toward the playoffs. And he was more or less, part of this is the fact that the highs are highs and the lows are lows right now. They need to find a way to get rid of those lows and start just either mashing at the plate, just figure out the pitching thing, one or the other, so there's not all these limps and valleys and whatever thing. They need Kevin Gausman and Alek Manoah to be the aces that they were. Kevin Gausman actually just won the AL Pitcher of the Week award. And apparently during the interview, did you guys catch that during the game last night that Hazel May broke the news to him?
No.
While they were just sitting there chatting or whatever. And they're like, yeah, you won. They thought he was getting messed with. And so it's kind of funny. So you get him going and it looks like he's heading in the right direction and figure out where that splitter's going. So hopefully he keeps riding that. And then we need Vlad and company to continue doing what they've been doing outside of last night, and that's just mash. Vlad is on a 19-game hitting streak going into tonight. Lars Gurriel Jr. is in the AL batting race, technically, all of a sudden, just like, but then the fact that you all of a sudden lost Kirk in that radar, he's coming back around, it looks like, a little bit the last 2 nights hitting the ball hard. Is there anything outside of those things that you guys are thinking would be the main difference in what the hell we would be able to be between a team right now where we're like, or running with it?
Yeah, I know. You got to play 500 or better baseball between now in the 22nd when you have your next off day after tomorrow, after Thursday, sorry, because the schedule gets super soft for 3 weeks. You're at the Red Sox the 23rd to the 25th. Then you come back for three against the Angels over the weekend of the 26th, 27th, 28th. Then you get the Cubs for three from 29 to 31. Then you go to the Pirates for Labor Day weekend. Then you play the Orioles again. Get familiar with them because we're playing them a lot between now and the end of the season. And then they're at Texas Rangers for three the weekend after Labor Day before it starts to get tough again with the Rays, the Orioles again, the Phillies, the Rays again, Yankees, Red Sox, and Orioles again. So that, that three-game stretch or five-series stretch right there will make or break their season. And I do expect another hot streak around there when you're facing weaker opposition, weaker pitching, and whatnot. So stay afloat. You need to win this series against Baltimore. If you lose the series, it's going to get super hairy because that's going to give them confidence knowing that, hey, we see these guys this exact same time next week. They're here Monday through Wednesday of next week. And they kind of rinse the gap.
Not to mention there's that whole gap issue there. And then if things keep going the way we were talking about, we actually just heard during the game the other night that the Twins actually won the season series against us. So for some reason, they fall out of first place and are in the wild card hunt. They would now have the tiebreaker over the Toronto Blue Jays. Yes. So if we were all of a sudden in the hunt for the last place in the wild card, they would actually technically win and move on to the playoffs. And we'd be sitting in the same bullshit situation that we were in a year ago.
Yeah, that's something.
Same with Seattle.
That's who the other team was.
Exactly. And remember, there's no game 163 anymore. That's something everybody forgets. So it's tiebreaker now. And you've lost it to Minnesota and Seattle, two teams that
you have to hold on to it to the other team.
You have to.
So, like you said, getting into the Orioles and everything. So, Chris, do you think there's that catalyst in this lineup somewhere that helps on this roster that all of a sudden kicks us into the high gear?
Haven't seen it yet.
somebody's got to make us go on a run. This is, they need to do something like they did to finish 2016 off or something here.
like Guerrero's been slowly doing it now. Maybe it is Whit Merrifield. We need a little, people have been really hard on Bo and I guess
home run tonight,
rightfully so or not. I don't know. He's always been a wild and free swinger. And that's just who he is. Like, you're not going to change exactly who he is at this point. You likely never, ever will. But, like, he's having a down year, granted, but so is the entire Blue Jays offense compared to what you would normally expect of them. So, like, I don't know. I'd love it.
But he is having a defensive plus here.
He is. Kirk has been pretty bad. I don't want to say bad, but he hasn't been what he was pre-All-Star game. Aspinall hasn't been what he was pre-All-Star game either. You need those guys to start kicking it back into another gear. I think if you're going to have somebody go on a good heater and carry this team, you're probably looking at one of Teoscar or Bo to do that.
Yeah.
Teoscar's been heating up too. And Teoscar's been heating up. He comes through in big moments, right?
Yeah. I thought he was gonna hit that home run last night, and he honestly didn't miss it by a ton on a couple of foul balls, but they struck out.
And maybe Springer comes back Labor Day weekend or just after Labor Day weekend, and he's a little bit of a fire starter as well, like he was last year when he came back. And the team needs to go play a couple of weeks in Buffalo and then come back.
to have the travel thing going again.
Yeah, but then we lose the advantage of the vaccine requirement
for like that extra game. But now I think at this point, everybody that we've seen what we're going to be playing with the vaccine protocol stuff. So as far as opponents go.
Yeah.
So good times. I lost what I was going to talk about next. So just wanted to so we talked a little bit about where we're confidently sitting in this race. It's not looking the most secure and comfortable thing by any means. Everybody's nipping at our heels. The Blue Jays have to hurry up and find that next gear to get into this whole thing and run with that first wild card spot that is going to be so mission critical, I think, to this team's success going forward. We have all mentioned that. I just wanted to talk really quick the Minnesota series because we did, unfortunately, like I said, lost technically the season series with them because of that weekend. And it was a heartbreaking series, and the only win we ended up getting was more or less the most controversial game we're probably going to have all season. Did you guys see the replay? Do you think a hand snuck in, or do you think it was all – or a foot snuck in, or do you think it was literally just all blocking the plate?
It was all blocking the plate. It's pretty clear.
That's what I thought, too, when I was like – I got off my couch, and I was like almost like a table flip mode when I saw it. I'm like, he was blocking the whole plate! So – the funny
there
thing
was,
is, in the Orioles,
there,
game,
was,
that
a,
same thing
there
happened.
Was a lane. There was a lane. He got in front of the plate early, which was his undoing. If his foot was 3 or 4 inches ahead of where it was, he would have been fine. But there was a lane for him to slide.
So I'm going to give
it
you
could
the
have went
one,
either way.
Yeah, it could have went either way, 50-50. But I'm going to give you the fact that the guys that were in the New York replay booth that night were favoring that idea that the Blue Jays ended up winning on, because that same play happened in the 8th inning of the O's versus the Pittsburgh Pirates, and the O's lost that challenge for the same reason. So it was consistent that evening. That rule, they had it. It was almost the same thing. Rutschman was like sitting on home plate, and bam. You know, so... But to that point, that was like the only shining spot out of the whole weekend, other than the fact that we, you know... lost the 6-5 game on Friday night. You know, splitting a series with the Twins just hurts because we needed that win. So, anything you guys want to add on that series before we wrap it up a little bit here?
Well, all I'll say is Blue Jays and the Twins are pretty evenly matched, and that would be a fun playoff series if they do meet. Both series are very evenly contested and can go either way. And if they do slide a little bit and get in as the final wild card and have to go to Minnesota, I'd be pretty confident that they can take it out and win in 2 games. Yeah. I really would. So if that happens, it should be a fun series.
Yeah. The Blue Jays do have a chance to ensure the fact that help ensure that Twins win the series by taking on the Cleveland Indians here in the next week. So let's just talk where we're going, fellas. The Blue Jays get to actually go home until we have our next recording next Tuesday. Once again, playing the Cleveland Indians. And then again, back to the Bork Baltimore Orioles coming up for Looney Dog Night next week. So last week with the picks to click, before we go into where we're going with those series previews and the picks to click, Brendan, we actually had Wes pick yours and Adam's picks last week. So, Brendan, you ended up getting Teoscar Hernandez. I'll say stuck with Teoscar Hernandez.
I thought Adam got Teoscar.
I have it written down as Brendan had Teoscar and Adam had Lourdes.
I was pretty sure that because you can't pick the same person twice in a week that Brendan got.
Oh, did we flip it because of that?
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. I'll allow it. It was a West pick for both of you, so I guess it's a 50-50. Yeah. And to that point, that might have worked out actually in Brendan's favor anyway. Although, Chris, you had Whit Merrifield, who, as we mentioned, had a pretty good week as far as, I would say, igniting some of the offense a little bit to a point, because he was on base and stealing bases and really forcing the issue a little bit on the base pass and played a salvageable center field. And then I'm just out of the running because I had Espinal. He played a whole freaking like 3 games. So I'm just going to cross my name off of this voting. And I think it really does come down to Lourdes versus Teoscar. So Chris, what do you think as far as those two picks go? Or you're gonna wake your Whit Merrifield argument right now?
Well, yeah, I could do that. He hit .316, stole some bases, 6 hits. He won the game for them in Minnesota, whether you like it or not.
What did Lourdes end up batting this week?
I don't think Lourdes did as well as what.
I don't think he did either. Is that I didn't realize. I knew Whit Merrifield had a decent, you know, debut with the Blue Jays, but I didn't realize it was a .316 batting average week.
Why the hell can I not what? See?
Yeah, where'd the stats go on the Blue Jays website? What the shnike? Your debut went last week. Go internet, because unfortunately we know that the hottest guy in the Blue Jays lineup is probably Vlad Jr. right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd say Teoscar, because he ended up having 8 hits. 3 of those were doubles, 2 home runs.
Yeah, it'll probably be Teoscar. Yeah, it'll be Teoscar.
We're gonna, Yeah, we're going to talk chalk that one up to Mr. Corsair winning then. Sorry, Brendan. So we got a...
You're still tied for the win, or tied for the lead.
Brendan is the win. He's got 6 wins. Now you and Chris, and our Adam and Chris are now tied at 5, and then I'm sitting in the back because I picked Espinel. So, all right. Seeing Adam's not here to accept his trophy, do we let Brendan go with the next one here?
Yep.
See, he missed last week and didn't get to pick his guy?
Yep.
Go for it, BP.
I mean, it's hard.
And also tell us how you think we're going to do this week.
Yeah. It's hard to pick them when they're not playing well offensively, that's for sure. So I might go on the pitching side. You know what? You pitch tomorrow. I don't know if he won't get 2 starts in, will he? I was going to go Berríos, but he'll get tomorrow, which will mean, what, he gets Sunday?
No. He's pitching Sunday.
So he'll get Monday. So, yes, he will have 2 starts. Okay, yeah, sure. I'll go with Jose Berríos. I think he actually has a good start tomorrow on the road. And then he has a good one on Monday against the same Orioles team.
There you go. So that was Berríos. And how do you think we're going to do?
Good question. Last time people looked at the potential pitching matchups, it's really good starters for the Cleveland Guardians. I'm pretty sure they get Shane Bieber, Tristan McKenzie, and one other, like, I'm blanking on right now.
The whole quartet was what I saw.
Yes. I'll do tomorrow's game. I think they're going to win that because obviously I picked Berríos. So one win there. I'll try to be confident, go 2-3 against Cleveland. So that's 4-1, and then Monday's game, they'll win as well. Five and one. Yeah.
Sounds like it.
4-1.
So, Mr. Key, your turn.
Teoscar and 3-3.
Teo, 3-3. Any particular reason for 3-3?
Because Kikuchi's going to pitch on Sunday, and the beer better be fucking cold at the Rogers Center, let me tell you.
Oh, God. It's going to be like that. Were you the one I was on Twitter earlier saying that Ross Stripling better hurry up and get healthy before Sunday?
Basically, yeah. Like, is there any chance that he could pitch on Sunday? Like,
I think it was pending the fact if he was going to do a bullpen day and get the simulated game, or if he was going to go down and do a start with the Bisons. That was the last news I heard, that his bullpen or whatever went well the other day.
Yeah. Apparently, I just saw something as well that Merriweather was touching 99.
Yeah. That would be huge. They need him.
That would be a nice push in for that other argument that we were talking about earlier.
BK just tweeted it out about an hour ago. So nice. three up, three down, 2 strikeouts, hit 99.2, 97.9, 96.9, 96.9, 96.9.
There's your swing and miss.
So.
Who is Mr. Corsair? Are we just going to let him do a Biggio pick this week, seeing Biggio is actually playing again?
No, I'll give him Witt this week. And then
we'll give him somebody that's at least going to play.
we'll at least give him somebody that'll play, and then I'll take Witt back every second.
There you go. You're just going to trade him back and forth?
Yep. He's going to lead us to the promised land.
There you go. So I'm going to say Kirk, and then I'm going to say we have a 4-win week like Mr. Panikkar here, because I think we need it, and I think we have a chance to catch the Guardians off guard here a little bit, because I think they're going to be slightly pissed after this last couple games here with the Orioles that they're going to want to take it to somebody. And I'm sorry to say they're coming home. Momentum. Sorry, Indians. Sorry, Guardians. You're going to deal with it. Anyways, fellas, is there anything you would like to add, discuss before we wander off this evening?
Good agenda.
Yeah,
I'm good. I'm just glad we got the gang together. I felt weird getting invaded last week by Jay's Jam. I'm not comfortable with this. So, other than that, fellas, you know, this is the typical, you know, we got back together here this week. We're going to be back on Tuesday next week. I'll be on location on my vacation, phoning it in, literally. So I hope you guys enjoy your week and whatnot. I'm going to be probably drunk on a beach and slurring my words by the time we come back. But so until next week, Blue Jays fans, make sure you check us out on YouTube, where you've been hopefully listening to this, on LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, anywhere else you've been getting your live action from us or your video fun. Make sure you listen to the actual podcast if you missed our recording, is wherever you can get your podcasting pleasures from, Google, Spotify, iTunes, any of that kind of good stuff. And until next time, guys, I guess that's a two claps, Ric Flair. 1, 2, 3.
Woo!
Woo!
Let's go Blue Jays.
Oh, by the way, Chris, PS from your wife texting in, t-shirt hoodie on the show? Really?
She hates it.
That's the standard.